As the possibility of war nears, Kurds living in northern Iraq have particular reason to fear an attack with weapons of mass destruction. In the late 1980s, Saddam Hussein's forces stamped out a Kurdish uprising by bombarding villages and towns in the north with chemical weapons. Now, Iraq's Kurds again are preparing for the worst. The Kurdish leadership says it asked for protective gear from the U.S., Europe, and the U.N. months ago, but so far, no help has arrived. NPR's Ivan Watson has more from Sulaymaniyah in northern Iraq.
Every night, Kurdish television spends an hour broadcasting a text message titled "Directions to Protect Yourself from Chemical and Biological Weapons." Move to higher ground, it says. Eat and drink only canned food and bottled water, and try to wear clothes that cover your skin from head to foot. At this middle-class household in Sulaymaniyah, Peri Muhammad laughs as she shows a visitor the makeshift gas masks she sewed for herself and her two daughters.
What is this made out of?
Cotton.
It's tough salt. And coal.
And it goes over your face.
It looks like a crude surgical mask stuffed with coal and salt. Following the example of many of her neighbors, Peri has also covered the windows of one room in the house with plastic sheeting. In the event of an attack, she and her daughters will take shelter there, but only after covering the cracks around the door with a wet blanket. Still, Peri adds, these precautions probably won't do any good.
But she believes that if the chemical weapons were used, that will be useless.
This will be useless.
Mm-hmm. Across town, police officer Faisal Rashid Amin nods in agreement. Counting his prayer beads, as he sits with his family on the floor of their one-room apartment, Faisal recalls his own close encounter with chemical weapons. Thanks to a chance breeze which blew airborne poison in a different direction, Faisal, his wife, and two children all narrowly survived an Iraqi chemical weapons attack on the town of Halabja in 1988. Many of Faisal's relatives weren't so lucky.
27 of his family were dead. His uncle, his aunt, my aunt's family, my cousin, a cousin of my mother, my another cousin, my brother.
An estimated 5,000 people were killed in Halabja. It was the most infamous and most deadly of a series of chemical weapons attacks against communities here, all part of an Iraqi campaign to crush a Kurdish rebellion in the late 1980s. A generation later, Faisal's daughter, Hajj, says her classmates fear they may be the next target.
And in the school we say that we shouldn't go to school because maybe we face this. All the pupils and all the students, they agree that maybe they're gonna face such a situation because of that. They don't like to go back to school.
When people speak of inspection regime in Iraq looking for weapons of mass destruction, many Kurds find that somewhat strange, surreal.
Barham Saleh is a top official from one of the two Kurdish administrations here. He says he put in a formal request to the U.S., Europe, and the United Nations months ago for protection against chemical and biological weapons.
We are asking for mobile clinics. We're asking for protective gear. We're asking for antidotes for biological and nerve agents and the type of things that would be needed to deal with such contingencies.
So far, no aid has arrived. Michael Connedy, a British member of parliament, traveled to northern Iraq this month to draw attention to the issue.
Why are the people of Kurdistan being left without protection when everyone else, Kuwait, Israel, are being provided with gas masks, as one young person said, for every cat and every dog?
Many here won't wait for help. Across Kurdistan, people are preparing to evacuate their families to the mountains above the cities in the event of an Iraqi attack. And yet, despite this looming danger, all the Kurds interviewed here said they support a U.S.-led invasion to overthrow their longtime enemy, Saddam Hussein. Ivan Watson, NPR News, Sulaymaniyah in northern Iraq.